Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network Gospel Show on this beautiful Sunday. How's everyone?
Doing great, Six. How you doing?
Doing great, doing great.
Good, so we're gonna have Six.
All right, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Once again, you listen to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Phone lines are open, 424-243-9617. Want to say hello to our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries. Welcome one, welcome all. So what we're going to do is get into a song, and then we're going to proceed with the show. All right, sounds good. And listen to the Six Eyes Gospel Show for this beautiful Sunday. Amen. That was Anthony, A.K. King, Talk to God. And I want to say congratulations to Jay King for the Open Air Jazz Festival in the park yesterday in Sacramento, California. Great performances by D.O.A. Allen, Lucky Witherspoon, Nikki Harris, Joe Levy. Great show, great performances. The Guitar God, great show. So I want to say shout out to them. This is Six Eyes Gospel Show. All right. So we need an opening prayer. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, with you we have another day, and Lord Jesus, in you we have another way. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your many blessings, Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the many people listening in. So, Lord Jesus, we know that your word says, Lord Jesus, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And, Lord Jesus, we know that you're in our midst, Lord Jesus, because of that. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you to take the wheel of this here program. Help that soul who is nearest hell to reel up the wagon, white flag and surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe the thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessing to pray so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19 as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd help them, first of all, for the family and friends of those who's lost someone due to COVID-19. We ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19 as we speak, we ask you to comfort and heal them only through your will, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations, as we hear about on the television set, read about in the newspaper, or hear about on the radio set, Lord Jesus, you've got mail, Lord Jesus. Because, Lord Jesus, we need to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you. Now, Lord Jesus, we pray and ask all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to enter you in the Guinness Book of World Records for opening prayer, longest opening prayer. Yes, and we definitely want to pray for the Buffalo situation, the young man that went to the grocery store killing 10 people. So we just want to pray for the families of the ones that who were lost, and just praying for their situation, praying for strength and comfort at this difficult time, also praying for the Ukraine situation, and just praying for mankind. That covers everybody, my family, your family, my friends, your friends. That covers everybody. Praying for mankind. This is Six Eyes Radio Network. Going to get into some music, and then later on we have our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Want to say hello to my good friend Levi out there and our surrounding cities and states, our faraway countries. Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Well, Brother Six, we still got the opening scripture yet to go.
Well, let's go. Everybody get on track. Let's go.
Amen.
This week, our scripture reading will be in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year of the King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst a people of unclean lips, For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And this was Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Emily. All right. This is the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Call a friend. Or you can access us on the web by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S. All right, going to get into some great music. Amen.
They would say songs like, What do you want the Lord to say?
Just a little while. January 22nd, 1970, in a little storefront church over on Conant Street. Revival was about 150 days. Mother Stella Boyd was running the revival. Lord have mercy. And Mother would get up and sing a song. It would go like this. She would say, after a while, it'll all be over. After a while, the sun will shine. After a while, dark clouds will pass over. And we'll shout hallelujah. After a while. Thank you.
That might have been the longest song in gospel history.
Bring
How are you?
I'm going to the park.
Be safe. All right. Trust in the name of the Lord. You're enjoying the Six Eyes Radio Network Gospel Show. Every Sunday, 12 Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Get your praise on without leaving the house. Six Eyes Gospel. Have the pastor arrived yet?
No, sir.
All right. We'll have more music, and he'll be here shortly. Amen. Please.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. It is a privilege and an honor to be here. I guess they didn't see that I was on the line, but that's all right. It's all good. Maybe the Lord was giving me just an extra moment to make sure my mind was in the right mode. Amen. I've been working a lot here lately, and got a lot of work to do even on today. But nevertheless, I am here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the place where you can get your praise on without leaving the house. Amen. I want to share with you all today, if I can, once again, we give honor to whom honor is due. We thank God for Brother Charles, the founder of this wonderful radio station. Thank God for all his wonderful help, the Wolfgangs, Sister Princess Mikhail, and just a host of other people that have thrown in to the labor that makes up this wonderful station. And so we thank God for everyone in their respective places, wonderful programming throughout the week, just to bring an addition to someone's life. And on today, I would like to visit something that maybe many of us know the story, but just in case, I want to revisit it and have us to look at it from a different perspective. Amen. And so if you all are ready, I hope and pray that you have your Bible. That's right. I hope and pray that you have your Bible with you. Why? Because we need our Bibles. We need the Word of God to instruct us, amen, on the things of God, amen. And what's unique about the story that I'm going to share today, it is a parable that Christ himself gave. I think it's very important for us, you know, that years ago they used to say if E.F. Hutton is talking, the commercial was, as soon as somebody mentioned the name, tables, two or three tables over, away from the conversation, would stop talking, and they would begin to listen. I think when the king of the universe, the creator of all that is, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the author and finisher of our faith, think when he begins to speak, that is the time to turn off the TV, turn off social media. That is the time to shut everything down. If the washing machine is a little bit too loud and you can't go to another room, turn it off. Amen, somebody. If the dog is barking, look at him real strongly and say, shh. But make sure that you are able to hear what the Savior and Redeemer of mankind has to say. Jesus has given us this parable, but we want to give him our complete and total attention. Amen. So at this time, for those of you that don't know where I'm going, one of the prodigal son. Many of us have heard this, but most of us don't know that the prodigal is the name of the man. The son is the description of the young man that made a decision. And in the process, that decision went wrong and caused him some serious setback. And it doesn't give us his name because it's very easy for my name to fit there. That this story could be the story of Kenneth. This story could be the story of Mikhail. This story could be the story of Ken, Wolfgang. This story, if truth be told, could be all of our story to what our name is. This story could very easily be replaced with our name. I want to read. So we done heard of the story, and most of us know it, but just in case you don't, we're going to the book of Luke, New Testament, St. Luke, chapter 15. Clarity sake, because I don't know who's listening, and many people may find some difficulties in the Queen's language or Old English. And so we have a translation that's more modern, but it doesn't miss the mark in its translation. So I will be reading today from the New Living Translation, the Revised Version. That's where they caught their errors and made those corrections. So the New Living Translation, once again, this is Christ. We're in the book of St. Luke, chapter 15. Our study, I want to focus in on verses 11 through 32. And if you don't mind, I will do a little reading. First of all, I want to be guilty of plagiarism on the Word of God. Yes, I did say guilty, and I did use the word plagiarism. In other words, I want to be guilty of verbatim saying what it says. Amen, somebody. Once again, St. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. By this time, you should have it. Amen. The word of the Lord reads as following. Again, I'm reading the New Living Translation. The Bible says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. So he was already talking to them about something. He was already dealing with a matter. But that matter is not one that I want to focus on, so we're going to move on and we'll get to my point. It says, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. Pen there. Most of us know that this is called an inheritance. And for the most part, the inheritance is given as the parent either transition from this life to the next or have gotten to a certain age where they are no longer able to manage what is being given to the sibling. But this son is bold enough to say to his father, I want what you're going to give me now. This illustration is very important for us for this one cause. Many of us go to God and we say, God, we want our blessing and we want it now. We don't want to wait 2 years. We don't want to wait 20 years. We don't want to wait a long term. We want it now. We act like it's a J.D. Wentworth commercial. It's my money, and I want it now. That's what we act like. But it's not our money. It's his. And because it's his, he has the privilege to release it when he decides. But nevertheless, the Bible do say, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. So maybe, just maybe, this young man was under the impression the worst he can do is say no. So why not ask? So he asked his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. So the father agreed. So the father didn't deny him. He agreed to divide his wealth between his son. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. Maybe he had heard that there was a different currency there that was better than the one that he had. Maybe he had heard of opportunities of success. Maybe he wanted to prove to his old man, his father, that he was able to make it on his own. Whatever the reason was, he made a conscious decision to leave home. Many of us, we had to do that when we got to a certain age here in America. Most of us, we get to a certain age of accountability, and at that point in our culture, we want to be our own boss. So we tell mama or daddy, thank you, but I'm moving. Thank you, but I'm getting my own. In fact, it is taught, it used to be taught, whenever you can no longer abide by the house rules, that is not the time for the house rules to change. It is time for you to change your house. In other words, it's time for you to go. Whenever mama rules and daddy rules are too much for you, don't mean mama or daddy are wrong. I don't mean that they need to make adjustments for you because you figure that they're too hard on you now. No, when you figure that you can no longer abide under their rules, that's time for you to move. Now, I don't know who that's for, but if you heard it, it was meant for you. We're moving right along. Amen. So he moved to a distant land and there wasted all his money in wild living. Somebody say bad management. When you don't have good managing skills, see, when he was home, he can splurge because daddy was in charge and daddy made sure things were being replenished. And so because daddy was there to do what daddy did in order to ensure that there would be an inheritance for later, the young man was able to do what he felt he could do. But now that he's on his own, he's realizing that he's no longer have that covering. Many times in life, we want to do our own thing. That's the danger of not having a church family. That's the danger of not having a structured organization supporting you. Many times we want to be the captain of our own ship, but we don't understand that all that goes into operating the ship. We see the ship and we see the sails and we're like, oh, I can do that. But don't realize that some things you can do solo, but it will bring you solo. Matter of fact, it will bring you to your lowest point because without help, no one can ever have true success. Oh, yeah. If it was not for the world that enjoyed Michael Jackson's music, as big a pop star he was, he would never have his global status that he had. Somebody had to embrace him. Somebody had to support him. So many times when we want to do our own thing, we got to realize there's still limitations. There's still rules that we must follow. And this young man, for whatever reason, the Bible says here in the New Living Translation, says, and there he wasted. And this wasted means he was not able to invest his money properly. He was not able to allow his money to grow and to develop. And it doesn't mean that he did it on purpose. It just simply means it was done. Sometimes we have the greatest intention to do right, but all it takes is a famine to come in the land. All it takes is for the housing market to bubble to break. All it takes is a loss of job, loss of employment, and the inability to get one of equal pay. Any of our lives can be changed in a moment, at a moment notice. It can take a sickness. You can be doing well and all of a sudden find out that you have a heart problem. All of a sudden there's a car accident and you break your leg and your insurance was lapped and the person that injured you had no insurance. So many things can happen with well intention. So we go back to the story and we look at this because oftentimes, and I'm pointing these out because oftentimes when we hear the story of the prodigal son, we think the worst of him. We think, how dare he ask his father, because of, understand the culture. Sons were stripped to the father. But who's to say that the son was not at an age and a condition to set out on his own? Maybe there have been conversations before, and the father was saying, one day you're going to see. One day you're going to be on your own. One day I'm not going to be here to rescue you. And so probably after having several conversations in this direction, the young man said, well, Dad, listen, just give me what you're going to give me, and I'll show you how to do this. We could be making money here. We could be doing this. We can do, but you just want to stay here, but I want to see the world. And his father agreed. So the boy didn't steal it. He agreed. So, all right. And this is the difference between a perfect will and a permissible will. A lot of times we are praying to God for certain things and we are begging God and we're pleading with God and we do all that we can to make things happen and God allowed them to happen because it's under his permissible will. That means what he will allow. And then when things go wrong, we blame God first. Yes, we do. We blame God. We say, God, you allow God. The question is, and here's my testimony to that. Many years ago, while I was working for one particular company, I had a general manager. I was a department head, and I had a general manager that, for some reason or another, started changing towards me. Her behavior, her attitude was more aggressive. And she began to be condescending in spite of what was going on. Had nothing to do with my work performance because I had already brought the department up from average of 11 to 15 orders daily to over 40 orders daily. So I had already proven my worth. I had already done the things that were required, but something else was going on. And in the midst of all that mistreating, I saw other supervisors that was not doing their part and became complaintive about it. And the blowback came to me. And I was saying to the Lord, Lord, don't you see the woman treat me like this? I'm your servant. How dare this woman treat me? And did not know that my mind had went to a state that it did not belong. Because the Bible says they that live godly shall suffer persecution. But I didn't want to hear that then. I didn't want to receive that at that moment. And I was like, Lord, I got the education. I can do this. I got the time, the experience. I can go somewhere else and make this money. And I prayed and I said, Lord, let me go somewhere else. And I felt like the Lord said to me, okay, you can. But I was always trained, before you make major moves, always talk to someone. So my partner, who's a lot older than me, was more of a big brother and a mentor to me, but we was like brothers. I was sharing with him my blight, what I was going through. And I told him, man, I'm finna leave. I mean, I'm finna find me another job. This just ain't working. I'm sick of this foolishness. They don't want to do right. All of that I said, and more. No profanity, y'all. No profanity. And he simply said, he said, okay, I hear what you're saying. And one of the phrases he loved using, he said, consider what I say and let the Lord give you an understanding. He said, I heard you and I just have one question for you. You said the Lord said that you can go somewhere. I said, yeah, he told me I can go somewhere. He said, well, my question is, did God tell you to go somewhere? And upon hearing the word from the crown of my head down to the soles of my feet, I felt the Spirit of God just hit me and said, wake up. And I began to weep because I had allowed my circumstance to dictate my actions. And I had left past the place where the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. But in prayer and supplication, let your request, not your demand, let your request be made known unto God. And I didn't realize that I had moved from a request to demand. You say, Pastor Bonnie, what's that have to do with anything? Because I'm God's servant. How do I demand him anything outside of his written word? I was being provided. I had wherewithal. So what I had to deal with some harsh talking, some down. Some degrading tones. So what? None of it killed me. But what it did was it challenged my ego. So I realized it was pride. I had a level of pride that I had gave too much room. I had a level of pride that said, look at me. I'm this, I'm that. I had a level of pride that had rose to a point where it forgot who got it there. It wasn't my own intellect that got me the job, because I got the job because I had a hunger for Taco Bell, but when I got to Taco Bell, the Lord said, that the desire left, and the Lord said, go down this street. And I saw the company was opening. I walked in and got hired that same day. So it wasn't me that got the job from the beginning. But somewhere down the line, I thought I was doing it. I think the prodigal son, he had a problem with somewhere down the line, he forgot that that was his father's stuff. He didn't build that on his own. He didn't develop that on his own. It was there when he got there. And I think most of the time our problem is that we forget that it was God that did it. And it's so strange, but it's so important to point this out because we fall into the same trap as what Satan himself fell into. Satan began to look at himself and think he was somebody. And then desire to take his glory beyond that whom made him. And sometimes, unaware, we can fall into this temptation that we are trying to go about life, but we get in our head that it's our doing. And we forget whose servant we are. So here in the story, the prodigal son is living a wild life. And about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land. And he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the field to feed pigs. Here it is now, the very thing that he was raised up against. He's now doing. Sometimes the good that I would do, I do not do. But that I would not do, that I find myself doing. Therefore, I find in my members, that's my body, working in me another law. And that law is the law of sin. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Because when I would do good, evil is present. And he realized that sometimes in life we attend to do good, but we try to do it apart from Almighty God. We try to do it on our own. We try to make our own names in light. We try to give our own stuff a pat on the back. We try to toot our own horn, forgetting who got us there. And when the scripture says that for everything under the sun, there is a time and a season. So there was a time of prosperity. Then there's a time when prosperity is not around. And if you haven't saved, if you haven't prepared, then when winter comes, you starve. You're left in the cold because you made not the appropriate preparations. So the Bible says here, the young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs, looked good to him. It was amazing when you don't like certain things and it started looking good to you. You didn't agree with drugs and alcohol, but all of a sudden it looks good to you. It seems like a way out. Think drinking was your thing, but all of a sudden now you want your martini. And you convince yourself, well, it's just a martini. But that's all the enemy needs, is one foothold. He said, it was just one cigarette. I ain't hurting nobody. But you're putting that toxin in your body. So you're hurting the vessel of Almighty God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, I needed to calm my nerves. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. But we chose a different thing. When we don't choose sex and drugs, we call. We choose power. And we exercise it over people and trying to feel good. But the scripture says, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. It's so amazing. Our flesh keep hungering and thirsting for acceptance, appreciation of others, from others. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with being accepted by others. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with our desire of want to be admired and looked upon as a successful person or a good-looking person. But when it become our driving point, then we have missed the mark. Now, the food that he was giving to the pigs, it started looking good to him. No one gave him anything. I was talking with Pastor Calhoun about this. I told him, I said, man, this is what I want to talk about. It's in my spirit. And he brought this one point at this particular point. It's worth repeating. He said, maybe no one gave to him because in the beginning, he probably, like some of us, went and got some credit. And he's thinking that everything was going to bounce back, thinking everything was going to come together, this deal was going to come through. And he said, man, listen, so like some people do, when my taxes come, I'm going to pay you. On that basis alone, do not loan. Because as soon as their taxes come, whomever they owe began to come around. And don't think they just owe you. No, word to wise. Anyway, so the young man had probably borrowed all he could and was not able to pay back. So now, just maybe, he was tapped out. No one gave to him because they too were struggling. They too was trying to take care of their families, and although that they were partakers with him and the partying and everything, they went home. But he remained a stranger in a strange land. See, they were amongst their families, but he was all alone. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy can use against us as believers is isolation. When you're isolated by yourself, He can talk to you. He can say what he wants to you. And you're prompt to listen to him because there's no other voice around speaking. And if you haven't got strong enough and developed enough to counsel him out, everything he says begin to sound like a truth, even though it's coming from a liar. Oh, yeah. We watch television now, and they're able now through digital device, to digital media, to do things that make you think that that was all real. I'm a Star Trek fan. Man, the voices that they take, it looks real. But ain't none of us been to the stars like that, so what do we know? So we take what they show us as fact, because no one showed anything different. And so when we're isolated, we hear what the devil is saying as fact, because there's no one to say different. That's why it's danger in staying alone. And the focus on this message is go back home. The focus on it is go back home, because you once was at a place of safety and security. You once was at a place that had love and acceptance. You once was at a place that nurtured you. And so all of those that have left their church for whatever reason, and you're out there by yourself, and I say by yourself, that means you haven't started a church, you haven't built a congregation yourself, you have no one fellowshipping with you on a regular basis. I'm saying to you, don't stay alone. I'm saying to you, it is bad to be alone. In fact, the Word of God tells us that God himself looked at Adam after Adam did some good work. After Adam did what God wanted him to do, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. On that note alone, it's not good for us to be alone. That's the importance of being in a home. That's the importance of being in a group. That's the importance of having a community. That's the importance of having a culture that caters to God and pleasing God and not doing your own thing. So now doesn't evolve around God no more. So many things that are being accepted now in our culture is because they have removed the foundation of what our culture was being built on. And so the prodigal son had left his culture. And so the things that his culture was built on, he's now in a place that don't honor the culture he was built on. But because of his desperation, he began to desire and do, because he picked up another culture, another nature, another attitude, another behavior. That's why when I see men above 50 sagging, to me that is beyond foolish, because we were taught to tighten up our belt. We were taught the purpose of pants is to cover your behind. And so now you're showing your behind, and you did it because you saw these young cats do that. That means you have bought into their culture and you have not spread it yours. That means you were seduced. You were bewildered. The Bible said, who has bewitched you that you should believe a lie? What make you think it's okay to walk around keep on going, preacher. Anyway, so the Bible says, finally, when he finally came to his senses, finally, when he finally came to our senses, he said to himself, in other words, whatever was going on this particular day, God allowed him a clear thought, a thought without interruption, a thought that was pure. He thought to himself, and he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. The folks that ain't family, but they're just close. Yeah, they doing the will of the Father, even though they don't belong to the Father. You'd be surprised. There's some people that honor God that's not quote unquote confessed Christian, but they honor God better than some Christians. That's a sad testimony. How can I allow you, an outsider, to love my God better than me? Let me keep on moving. Food for thought. Yes, food for thought. Amen. So he said, they got food enough to spare, and I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Here's the beauty of it. Although we deserve death, the Bible says, while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here it is. He made up in his mind. Father, I sinned. See, he didn't get there to tell his daddy no wild story. That somebody robbed me. Man, I've been trying to get home for a long time. No, he didn't come with a sad story. So long as you won't face your real issue, and that is you have sinned, then you can never be delivered, because the problem has never been rectified. I can't go into the ER room and say, oh, I feel like I'm just hurting in my stomach and there's a bullet wound in my back. In order to stop the hemorrhaging, they got to deal with the wound that penetrated me. And a lot of times we can't get healed because we don't want to deal with what penetrated us. Sometimes penetrated us is unforgiveness on our part. But they did me wrong. I know. You still got to forgive them. But you don't understand what they did. I don't. But you still got to forgive them. But man, if it was you, it wasn't. It was you. But you still got to forgive. Still got to forgive. Man, but every time I try, man, I keep messing up. Forgive yourself. and start resounding your failures. Stop resounding your failures. No, that didn't work. Next. Because sometimes you got to keep trying to find what works for you. In business, in retail, a lot of times they will move certain people from one department to the next department. And they would do that because sometimes people perform in different conditions better. So if the person showed up on time, showed that they was trying to learn but just didn't get it over here, you said, no problem. Let's try you over here. And sooner or later, after trying and working with them, they'll find their fit. And a lot of times we have to realize that we're trying to discover what God has for us. And so certain things I need to fail at. Because if I didn't fail at them, then I could spend 20 years doing something that God told me not to do, missing the thing that he wanted me to do. Amen, somebody. So, back to the text.
Man, come on, Pastor. Come on.
I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. In other words, a believer who was a follower of God. And I sinned against heaven, and I sinned against you, Father. Why? Because you entrusted me with your inheritance, and I wasted it. You entrusted me to do something better with what you gave. This is a relay. My job was to take it to the next destination. But along the way, I lost it. So once that is in his mind, that's in his heart. He says, please take me on as a higher servant. And he's trying to get back in his rightful position. He just realized, listen, I just want to make it here. Listen, I'm the low of the low, worst of the worst. You gave me up front, and I blew it. Just let me work for you. Just let me work. So he says, so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long ways off, got news for y'all. I read this in my Bible. It tells us here in the book of James, chapter 4. I read this text, James chapter 4. Says, when we decide to get closer to God, he's waiting on us. King James says, if you draw nigh to me, God will draw nigh to you. He says, when is the point of time? And that point of time is a moment of decision that we must make. He said, when you decide to get closer to God, he's waiting on us. In other words, he is already anticipating your movement towards him. Let me prove it. To all of those that have children that was crawling and trying to learn to walk. To all of those that had nieces and nephews and you was around while they was trying to walk. How many times have you set them on the other side of the living room, and you went over there and sat down and you encouraged them to stand up? You encouraged them to come your way. And even if they started crying, you encouraged them, don't cry, I'm right here. Now, if you and I can do that as human beings, to encourage our little toddlers, our little small ones that's learning how to walk, to come on back to them, to not be scared. They walked away from you and they fell down. You encourage, don't cry. Come on, get back up. And you'll wait right there, anticipating them getting up again. Now, if we do that, how much more our Heavenly Father who made us is doing? He saw our fall from grace. He saw our reluctance. And he's right there saying, come on, I'm waiting for you to trust me. I'm waiting for you to depend on me. Come on. I'm right here. And just like we would do for a child, how much more God would do for us. That's my proof. It's natural for us to do, for how much greater it is for him to also do. So, the Bible says here, back to the prodigal son, he said, Father, I have sinned against you, both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion. Filled with what? Love and compassion. Maybe the news had got back to the dad. Well, your boy out there, he over there in that land, they ain't got no money over there. You know, the economy is hard over there. You know, your boy went up to this city and they call it Sin City for a reason. You know your boy did. And he probably had word that came back to him. So every day, the father was probably looking for his son to come on back home. Why? Because he know that, listen, if he's in trouble, come home. If he's in trouble, come home. If he's in trouble, come home. I allowed him to go out there to make it for himself, but if he in trouble, come on. So the father was waiting on him. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him, and his son said unto him, Father, I sin. See, he ain't just said it in his head now. The Bible says you are faithful. The Bible said, First John, my friend, let me turn to it real quick. Make sure I quote it right from the New Living. It says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all, King James said, unrighteousness. This says wickedness. Amen. And to cleanse us from all wickedness. God wants us to be cleansed from the thing that separates us from him. But we must confess. So here's what the prodigal son did. After he made up in his mind, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to the servant, quick, bring the finest robe in the house The boy is starving. So his clothes is probably very dirty. He's probably smelly. Probably has very little clothing at all. Bring the best robe, not just any robe. Bring the best robe because I'm not trying to make my son an open shame. God is not trying to make us an open shame. He don't have to do that. Sin did that. Sin made us cuckoo for crazy Cocoa Puff. Yeah, cuckoo for Cocoa Puff, yeah. That was sin did. Sin made us bounce all over the place. So God don't have to reveal that anymore. Sin done that. He wants to restore us. So it says, find the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Go get a ring for his finger. That ring signifies family. The family ring, the crest. I want people to know that I have not thrown him away. Came back to me. I am receiving him back. Even in the Old Testament, he said, return unto me, backsliders. The teaching of Israel coming back to God. Because our God don't leave us, but we do leave him. We leave him by not believing in him any longer. We leave him by giving up and giving in to sin. But he is still there waiting to receive us back. He's looking for us to return. He's watching attentively because he knows that we're going to return. Some sooner than later. But he has an anticipation of us returning. And maybe you haven't lived your best life, but you still have life. So I'm saying return home. Return back to the place where you belong in God. You don't know where that is? Then take the next 30 days and pray and seek the face of God. Pentecost Sunday is coming up shortly, and take this time to reflect on what Christ done for us and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and to direct you back to the place you belong. He said, get some sandals for it, see, because he been barefooted. So his feet got blisters and everything. Give him some shoes. Let's cover his walk. Everybody don't need to see all that he's been through. To those of you that want to share your testimony, everybody don't deserve to hear your testimony because your testimony isn't for everyone. Because some people hear your testimony and they will judge you for your testimony. And their judgment may not be righteous. Ooh, I can't believe you done that. Ooh, I don't know if I can deal with you. Now, before you heard it, you ain't know. And you were just fine, so I guess you was a hypocrite. I'm sorry. That might be too hard. My apologies. But what is the definition of a hypocrite? If you call me your friend and I tell you my testimony of what God delivered me from and now you don't want to be my friend, then who told the lie? There's a saying, the lie don't care who tell it. It just want to be told. Let me keep on moving. Keep on moving, preacher. Keep on moving, preacher. 50 said, and kill the calf, we may have fatten. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead. Here the description, this son of mine was dead. That means
amen. Disconnect. Come on, preacher. Come on. Amen.
He was dead and has now returned to life. I don't care what kind of broken situation you are in right now. Whoever you are, listen to the sound of my voice. You may be broken. You may feel like don't nobody care, don't nobody love you, don't nobody understand. But I want you to know that God is the one that is able to fix the broken pieces. We heard the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty fell on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king horses, all the king's men could not fix Humpty Dumpty back again. But along came the king who scooped up the pieces, who put the yoke back inside, and Humpty Dumpty is whole again. Because what the men and women cannot do, what is impossible for us to do, God is more than able to do. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So just because you feel undeserving, while we was yet sinners, he died for us. And so you may feel trapped. You may feel abandoned. But he's always watching for your return. He's waiting on you to say yes to it, to his way, yes to his will, yes to trusting him, yes to obeying him. He is waiting. He has stretched out hands with a stretched out love, and it is big enough to cover the multitude of faults. The Bible says that perfect love casts out sin because Christ's love is perfect. It can cast our sins out too, but we must be faithful to confess our sin. So he that is faithful will hear those sins, will hear that confession and forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll do it. He would do it for us because he loves us. Finally, my brothers and sisters, let me wrap this up. We'll turn to the book of Romans here. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read this for our hearing. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brethren and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. And having given them the right standing, he gave them his glory. He gave them his glory. What shall we say about such a wonderful thing as this? If God is for us, who? Somebody just say, who? Who can be ever against us? Since he since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, would he also given us everything else? That means God has already given us the best thing that can be ever given to us, and that is Jesus Christ for the pardon of our sins, that our names may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we may inherit eternal life with the Father. So if he gave us the greatest thing, all of these other things are nothing. They are very small in comparison. Very little. God loves us. Period. Regardless of our state current, he loves us. And when we have found that our decisions have taken us to a far land, that our decisions have caused us to lose all that we have, and our decisions have caused us to desire that which we don't want, he's still there loving us. He's still there waiting on us to return to him and say, Father, I have sinned. That's what grace is. Grace gives us the right to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And his love is there to say, yes, I will. Yes, I will forgive you. And not only will I forgive you, but I'm able to restore you. I use that phrase, able to restore you, because sometimes we don't think that we need to be restored. God didn't think that he needed to be restored. But the Father had to thrust those things upon him. Some things in life is thrust upon us, because we are thinking little, and God wants us to think bigger. So wherever you are right now, pray this prayer with me. Save, unsave. Pray this prayer with me. This is one of acceptance and growth. Heavenly Father, here am I, your creation, your son or daughter. I know that you can do all things, but my faith has caused me to doubt many things. So I may be doing something that you don't want me to do. And I'm asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to order my steps. Your word said, the steps of a good man of the Lord, to order my steps that I may be found good, not in other sight, but in yours. I want to trust you with my everything. So help the part of me that still have not believed, that I may believe in you with my total being. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for teaching me how to love myself and how to love others. Now, God, as I love on you more and accept your love for me even more, I thank you now for your blessing me. Thank you, God, for your blessing me and your restoring of who I am. It said in Jeremiah 29:11, you know your thoughts towards me, you declare. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us a expected end. Thank you. Thank you that your thoughts towards me are pure, and they are to make me better. I choose that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Thank you once again for allowing me the opportunity to come before you at this moment to share some truths that I've learned on the way. I hope and pray that this message has encouraged you to keep on striving to be all that God wants you to be. And if you're struggling with decisions, understand the prodigal son just simply began to walk back home, and God began to meet him as he was walking home. When you draw close to God, he'll draw close to you, and he'll help you the rest of the way. God bless you. God keep you. Amen. Brother Six is back in your hand. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful message. That was our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. So we're going to open it up. If anybody got any questions, any takeaways from the message that you received today, I encourage you all to go back and listen to this later on before you go to bed, perhaps while you're having dinner, or later on in the week, you can listen to this podcast. Now, we are on Apple Music. We're on iHeartRadio. For you Android users, just go to the app. In the search, type in Six Eyes Radio. Subscribe. For you Apple users, same thing. Go to the search engine. Type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Top right corner, press subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. All right. Is that Queen's Laugh?
That is the Queen's Laugh. Hello, sir.
The Queen's Laugh. Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going great. How about yourself?
Going good, going good. And everybody listening around the world, this is Queen from AJ and the Squad. Newest show on the 6 Eyes Radio Network every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, 8 Central. The Squad, AJ and the Squad. All right.
I like that prayer. I felt like it was for me because I was just battling the situation yesterday with a decision I needed to make. And it just, I felt like he was talking to me. I feel like that was my confirmation right there that I made the right decision. So thank you for that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
God bless you. And thank you for sharing. Amen. Anyone else have a takeaway, a comment?
Good afternoon. Keep an honor to God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hey, hey.
Who is our life? Hey, how are you?
Hi,
praise
how
God
you?
Almighty. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. The message today was profound. It was a profound message. Never think that you can't come back home when you mess up. When you mess up from the floor to the and just tore up. I always know that you can come back home. Amen. And his arms never close without you coming in. Amen. But in your coming, faithful. Then faithful. Amen. In the word of God, that word was profound today. And I'm like you, Queen. That message was for me today. And that prayer, I prayed along with the prayer with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know. And decision making sometimes it can get so hard. It can get so hard. But you have to stand it for you have to go through. There are some Twitter things for the message to make. Thank you for the message.
Amen.
And take something for you. I don't have an empty plate taken out of it. I have a full plate and that I can share it with somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. To God be all the glory for the things God is doing. Amen. Anyone else have a takeaway, comment on the message, even a question?
On it.
God bless you, Sister Emily. Amen.
All I got to say, you were throwing some bricks today. So what you have
Lord, you were cracking me in the dome. I got to agree with whoever that was just then. I got to learn to, as they would even say in AA and NA, let go, let God, and not let my mouth or temper get the best of me. Because yesterday I let go when I was, like, afterwards, I felt like a pile of manure.
Well, the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and mind and lean not to our own understanding and acknowledge him, and he'll direct us in all our ways. And many times that's a hard thing for us to do because somebody told us we had to get it for ourselves. And the truth of it is God wants us to ask. My favorite scripture is Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open.
Excuse me for one moment. Please put yourself on mute, whoever that is. Thank you. I think somebody was trying to order some food. Amen. So can we give a prayer for, well, the world in general, but specifically the situation that happened over in Buffalo, New York, with the young man going into the grocery store, killing 10 people. And this is what we do here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. We have what's called How's Your Mental? And we wrote that out a couple weeks ago. And basically what it is, we check in on each other's mental, be a phone call or text message, and just to see how everybody's doing. You know, once the Lord blesses us with making the woke list, you know, the rest is up to us. But before we do anything, it starts with our mental. How do we wake up? How are we feeling? So that's what we've incorporated here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, which is a non-judgmental space. It's a safe place for you to come and share ideas, share thoughts. You know, this is where it's at. So that's what we do. Amen.
Amen. I enjoy that. I think my mental is good and healthy because I learned to say thank you. And so I'm often telling God, thank you. Thank you for the air that we breathe, the food that I eat, the clothes on my back, the transportation I have, the business that I have, the mindset, and the strength to keep on keeping on. And I've learned to be thankful. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. And not think for all things, but in all things. That means the good and the bad. Give thanks. Because in the midst of that, learning to be thankful, it elevates your attitude. And when your attitude is elevated, your altitude can stay elevated. And because so many things will try to ground you. So many things will try to bring you down. Life
That's
itself
right.
want to pull you down. But having the right attitude is like being filled with helium. It allows you to float because it's another transition. It's another state. It allows you to go against the natural law of gravity because it's another law within itself. And that law within itself will self-sustain itself. So just having the right attitude means that will change. And the way we correct that is the very moment that I find myself thinking bad thoughts, evil thoughts, wrongful thoughts. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. But sometimes the enemy is the enemy. So I have to learn how to resist that enemy. I have to learn how to rebuke my enemy when it does not line up with God's word. And so God's word is the standard. Regardless of what we do and what we say, God's word is a standard. And it doesn't change. It doesn't vary from one generation to the next. It doesn't vary. It doesn't have variance from one race to another. It is the same. The same godly word for you is the same godly word for me. And so it doesn't matter. It don't. It is not discriminatory. But it is only activated by faith.
That's right. That's right. You know, each day, every step I take, every minute, every second, walking by faith, not by sight, you know, and where I don't see, God sees for me. So I haven't walked off a cliff, maybe stubbed my toe, but I'm still here. So, you know, you just got to keep going, keep moving. Yeah.
Excited people do that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's our excuse? What our excuse is.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You know, whatever God, he wakes you up, you make the woke list, you know, he got you that far. Now, the rest is up to you. So you got 1460. It's up to you what you're going to do with it. You're going to have 730 of productivity. You're going to have 730 productivity of not being productive. It's up to you. You know, but if he wakes you up, the rest is up to you.
Amen.
Now tomorrow, yes. Now tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and 8 Central, Motivational Monday with our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnie. Give a call at 424-243-9617. Please like the Six Eyes Radio Facebook page. Also like the AJ Squad Facebook page. Go like that. And again, you can check them out every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. 6 Pacific and 8 Central. Yes. That's our newest show.
All right.
All right. I got a takeaway from today.
Go right ahead, Missionary Ken.
Well, it kind of also ties in with on Thursday with Dr. Doug Quick and his message. And a long time ago, a message that was given here by another one of your men of God, Pastor Bondit, that you had on as a guest on Motivational Monday. He was talking
All right.
about, I was mentioning about how I've been praying for a bus for the blind ministry. And
mm-hmm.
he had told me about praying about it, and not just praying about it, but maybe going out and checking into a bus and that kind of thing. Well, Pastor Doug Quick said the same thing, and so I made headway about checking into one. And
All right.
We found out what it would cost to get one, so now we're just praying about the Lord to provide the funds for it.
Amen.
Because we found out it's going to take $3,000 to $4,000 to get one.
Amen. Yeah, faith without action, or the scripture said, without works is dead.
Yeah.
You know, the prodigal son had faith that his father would allow him to come back in as a servant. But it meant nothing until he started heading home. It meant nothing.
Right, that's exactly.
A lot of times that's where we are in life. We're praying. You know, you can't say, Lord, send me a job, but you haven't put in the application.
That's what I was.
Go ahead.
Basically,
yeah.
You said what I was saying myself. So now letting everybody know is the kind of a plug-in. Now what we're doing is anybody that would like to donate to that endeavor, we are accepting donations on our website through the HolinessBiblesForTheBlind.org website. and just go on there, and on the main link right there at the bottom of the homepage where it says love offerings, just put in your love gift and just designate that for the, just put bus.
Okay.
So in doing the math, if 100 people, if 30 people give $100, there you go. That's your $3,000 right there.
Right. So that's why I said, so once again, the website is Holiness, you spell it with a Y, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. I think he can do it. I think he can do it. And we want to thank our listeners around the world, our surrounding cities and states, our faraway countries. It is our prayer and hope that this message has blessed you. Again, we're here 7 days a week, the 6 Hours Radio Network. Put this number in your phone, 424-243-9617. For you Android users, I'll slow it down a little bit. 424-243-9617. All right. And once again, you can follow us on iHeartRadio. Just simply type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Press subscribe. Same for you Apple users. Search bar, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Top right corner, press subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. 7 days a week of what you want, the Six Eyes Radio Radio Network.
Amen. All right. Amen. So are we guys ready for the Bloodhound of Scripture?
Sound like we're ready.
Bring it.
Take us in.
Bring it. Ruthie, take us there.
All
that
right.
Emily, take us in.
It's Emily, take us there.
That's right. Okay. Emily, take us there.
All right, let's see if your sniffers are in good shape. This is a verse we give from the Bible, and you got to tell us where it's located. Here we go.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you.
Ooh, some very good information there. So let's hear that again.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, though some strange thing happened unto you.
And one more time for our listeners' sake.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you.
All right, and who thinks they know the Bloodhound of Scripture? Who thinks they know?
I do.
All right, that sounds like Evangelist Clayton. And where would that be?
1 Peter 4 and 12.
Ding, 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 ding. You've got it. You've won. All right. She's
yay.
Got a delayed coffee.
Hey, J Squad.
All right. So that's where it's located, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And now for the scripture that you have to look up and sniff out by next Sunday, here it is.
Okay.
And it shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and
congratulations, you're going to pick up a party.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
Will not be good.
Yeah.
We love you.
We'll
hear that again.
We have 2 minutes
in
the
phone. 243-9617. Stop it. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I love y'all. Give it up for everybody. It's not just me, it's everybody. Subscribe. It's everybody. Motivational Monday. Jumbo Braille program. It's everybody. Stop it. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Now here's the one for next week that you got to sniff out.
And it shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees and say in their hearts, Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil.
Ooh, sounds like a little judgment. We'll hear that again.
And it shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil.
Yowch is right. He says he's going to punish them that are settled on their jeans, their knees. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and will punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. My listener, this one's an ouchest week.
All right, and that's what you got to sniff out for by next week.
Let's get ready to get out of here. Thanks for listening. You all enjoyed the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house every Sunday, 1 Eastern, 12 Central, 10 a.m. Pacific. All right. Bless. Take care. Just need to close the prayer, and we're out of here.
All right. Pastor Bonnet, we're looking for a prayer from you.
Amen.
Amen. Have you found it?
Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We pray for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network as we lift up our brothers and sisters around the world. We pray for those that are enduring hardships from the shooting there in New York. We pray for those that's in war right now, that's still wondering where they're going to live and what safety do they have in living. And, Lord God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you've already done. Thank you, Lord God, for just being who you are. Lord God, we ask that you continue, Lord God, to order our steps, Lord God, to wear our mouth, Lord God, so that we won't do the things that are unpleasing to you. What I send to one, I send to all. Watch as well as pray in Jesus' name. Let us all please be good neighbors. We're dismissed from this program. See you all on Monday night with the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. God bless you and God keep you.
All right. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, your night, your evening, wherever you are in the part of the world. Take care, and God bless from the Six Eyes Radio Network.